This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting today's service. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
There is much confusion today regarding the mission of the church. And so I'd like to use my sermon time this morning to talk to you on the general theme. What is the mission of the church? We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, we enter into your presence through the Word, asking that you will clearly show us what the Scriptures tell us the mission of the church is. Then grant us a grace and a courage and a strength to carry out that mission. Sometimes we know we have tried to make the mission something that it is not. Forgive us and correct us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Alas, and did my Savior grieve, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I?
Friends in Christ, each part of our country has its unique beauty. I love to go back to my home state of Maine, where we are surrounded by the ocean, with lakes all around us and the mountains. What a beautiful place it was to spend my boyhood. And from that glorious nature, we learn much about our God. But then I came to the Midwest and soon learned that it has its own beauty, especially those beautiful fields of grain in the fall of the year, when the corn and the oats and the wheats are about to be harvested. And we learn much about God from this scene too. Now, this was the picture that Jesus used when he wrote the words that are our text today. Let me read them to you. It is recorded in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. He also said to them, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, and night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalks, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come." In the light of this text, I would like to talk to you today on the general question, what are we doing in the church? It is a question that needs to be asked by the Christian on a daily basis, and here we have Christ's answer related to our text. The church's God-given task is to plant the seed of God's word in the lives of people and then let the Holy Spirit do the work of producing fruits which will bring forth people who are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now stop and think. It's Sunday. And around the world, the Word of God has been preached to millions of people. At this particular time, or earlier in the day, or later at night, we will be sowing the seed. And that seed is the Word of God. It is happening on this day in May. Then we watch the Holy Spirit work through the Word, producing the fruits in the lives of human beings created in the image of God, but fallen into sin, and beginning to experience a rebirth which brings them into fellowship with God and a part of His kingdom. Let's apply this truth that Jesus teaches us. Here is a child that is born. When he or she is only a few weeks old, parents will take them to the church, and there they will be baptized into the name of the triune God. We in Lutheranism, at least in many other denominations, believe that here God is entering into a covenant relationship with a child. In other words, we believe that the seed is being planted. It is only a seed. But as the days go by, it is going to grow. Consequently, the parents are told that it doesn't stop here at the baptismal font, but rather than that, they are admonished to take the seed, to take the child and introduce him or her to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then watch that seed develop. First, they begin to see the little bit of faith, and it grows and grows and grows. I'd like to relate to you how this happened in the home where I was raised. I recall my mother's Bible. In the New Testament, there was a picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, holding a lamb. Mother was sowing the seed in my life when she said, "Look, Jesus is your good shepherd, and you are the lamb. The shepherd will always be with you." And then she read me the 23rd Psalm. What was she doing? She was planting the seed. She was wanting me to know that Jesus loved me and he would walk with me throughout life. But there was another picture in that Bible that I did not like. It was a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross, and there was a crown of thorns on his head, and the blood was going down the side of his face. I didn't like that. My mother realized that I did not like it and that I tried to shy away from that picture. So one time as we were in the Lenten season, she said, "Here's a good lesson for us today." She said, "You know, this shows that God loves us. He loves you so much, my child, that he sent his child into the world to suffer and to die for your sins and for mine. And when he died on the cross, he paid the price for them all and has assured us that anyone who believes in him would have their sins taken away and they would be given a place to him or her in heaven when this life is over." She continually went back to that picture. It seemed to be the place where she generally started everything. Until soon I began to like that picture almost as much as the Good Shepherd picture, because I had a Savior who loved me so much he died for me. Now this was happening in the mind and in the soul of a young boy. Now when I was about 10 years of age, my grandmother died. That was something different. But what a chance it gave my father and my mother to talk to me about death. To add to it all, a few months after my mother died, my grandpa died, and he had come to live with us after grandma's death. One Sunday morning, he didn't feel very well, and he decided that he was not going to go to church. And so when we came home, he was there in his bed, jolly. We visited together. He did not come down to the table for dinner, so I took the dinner up to his bedroom. But when I arrived in the bedroom, there was something different, and I looked at him, and I felt him, and he was dead. Now, this was too much for an 11-year-old boy who loses his father, grandfather, and grandmother all in a period of a short time. But then it was that my parents said, "Look, Grandma and Grandpa have died, and we've had a funeral for them. We have put their body in the ground, and it will return to the dust from whence it has come. But they have gone to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven because they believed in him." That faith brought them into the kingdom of heaven. If you believe in Jesus, when you die like they did, you're going to go to heaven. That is a lesson that I never forgot, and I continue to proclaim it today. But as I grew older, some legalistic teaching of the Christian faith made me confused for a while. I believed that Christ had died for my sins, but I had to make some kind of a contribution, and I never quite knew how much and when I had get done enough. It was then that a very astute theologian came to the college campus where I was a student. He was talking there to about 400 pastors, as I understood it, but I went in to listen to what he had to say, and he was using a term like this: "Brothers, be sure that you do not mix the law and the gospel in your preaching." That is, don't say God sent his son to die for the sins of the world, and through Jesus' atonement, he has made complete satisfaction for all the sins that these people have done. And then hurry right on and kind of mix it together, talk to them, but you better do this and you better do that. And so they're confused. Many of them think, yeah, Jesus died for my sins, but I have to make my own contribution. And I can't seem to get enough done. Just tell them that Jesus did it all. Now the scene is different. It's another person who's planting the seed. He is a learned theologian talking to pastors, telling them how to clear the gospel when they proclaim the word. And a seed was planted, and it bore fruit almost immediately. And there were many, many other lessons that we were to learn. As we went along in life, as I went along in life, I began to think of the day when I would have a family of my own. And that caused me to want to look around and see where that young lady was. But somewhere along the way, in some meeting that I'd gone to, the seed had been planted in my heart. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. In other words, don't marry someone who does not believe that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. It will not be good. So that was always in the forefront of my life when I began to look at a young lady to the place that there could be some serious type of a relationship. How glad I am, because I don't know what would have happened if we had had a home. How would we have raised our children if both of us could not have shared with them the gospel of the Savior? What would our whole lifestyle be like together when we grew angry at one another? And we did. There was some place that we could come for forgiveness. When we were down in the dumps and perhaps not the best company to be around, it was the Savior who understood. We learned about prayer, that we could take everything to the Lord Jesus in prayer, and He would hear, and He would answer that prayer, though sometimes we had to understand that we would not necessarily get that answer while we were on this earth. It was entirely possible for us to get an answer that we did not quite like. We did not always know what the will of God was. There were many passages in the scriptures that we did not understand, and we prayed about them. And to this day, I don't have the answer to these passages. But way back when I was a kid, someone put into my mind, and I think it was my pastor in a confirmation class, who said one day, just remember this, it's all right to come to the place in your relationship with God where you have to say, I don't know how this is all going to work. I don't understand this passage. I have no understanding of it. Because if it were the pastor, he said, that's the way St. Paul was. St. Paul, who had so much knowledge of God and all that was related to him, said that while I'm on this earth, I only know in part, but someday I'm going to fully understand. Now I see through a mirror dimly, but then someday face to face. And I've been able to take many of these passages in scriptures because somebody planted the seed. That's what I'm after today, how that seed grows. And they would say to me, explain it. And I'd have to say to them, that's one of those passages that I can't explain to you because I don't know. Yeah, here is the importance of having someone plant the seed, and you plant the seed in someone else's life. You know, it's an overwhelming thought to think of all the planting that's been done today. This kingdom keeps right on going. And while we are walking there as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and planting that seed in the hearts of our children as we have them in our home, God is at work. You know, today I sometimes find myself saying I worry, I feel sorry for those children who are being born and raised now. It's going to be a tough world that they have to live in. Well, the world has always been tough, and I would grant you that it's probably a little bit tougher now than it was when we were growing up. But I'm not nearly as worried about those children who are going out into this life now if the seed has been planted in their lives. What I am worried about are these young children who are growing up with no background, no basis for a faith, no understanding of God, not knowing what it is to have a Savior to guide and to direct and to lead, not realizing that there's a law that says what God wants and what He doesn't want, feeling that there are no absolutes and each one can philosophically and metaphorically interpret the Scriptures as he pleases. That's what I worry about. For if there has not been a seed planted, to whom will they return if they have no Savior? We are planting the seed today in the lives of people who tomorrow will be husbands and wives. We are planting seeds today in the lives of parents of children who are going to have to grow up in this old world. We are planting seeds in the hearts of men and women who are going to be teachers, multiplying machines, teaching little children, kindergartners, right on through to the PhDs in some of our most distinguished universities. We're planting the seed for that person who will one day be a businessman on Wall Street. God grant that when he is there, as well as in the halls of Congress, they will have come from homes that planted the seed and churches that nourished that seed, and they know what the will of God is. Our problem today is there are too many people who have no spiritual understanding of what God's will is for their lives. We are planting the seed in the lives of those who are going to be our doctors and our nurses and our lawyers and our congressmen and our legislators, and our cabinet members, and the President of the United States himself. Think of it. Just let your mind go. That maybe there is some place in our United States today, a boy or a girl sitting on a Sunday school pew who is learning about God. And that seed will mature and grow, we pray, and he will be, or she will be, the individual who will lead the United States of America. That's a pretty awesome thought, isn't it? But what an opportunity we have. What an opportunity to plant that seed. But here is one of those questions that I cannot answer. God's word says, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. My question is, what about all those lives where the seed was planted, but it never bore fruit because it was never nourished? A home that didn't care that much about the children that they brought the boy or the girl to the Word on a daily basis. The church that didn't care enough about preaching the real truths of the Word of God as they stand, but took them according to the cultures of the day. What is the mission of the church? Well, I don't know what the future holds. But this one thing I am sure of. I know who holds the future. And that seed was planted in my heart by faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit made it bear fruit. It is all by grace, friend. It is nothing the soil does without the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, bear a precious fountain, free to
Calvary's mountain. In the cross.
Father, we pray that seed that has been planted today will bear much fruit. And that for those who are your children, grant, O God, that this might have been a day of growing in the Word, as it was nourished, watered by your revelation. Jesus, we truly pray that you will keep us near the cross, for there we realize we have a foundation that will be with us no matter what happens and what comes to our day. Bless those who are sick, those who mourn the loss of loved ones. Jesus, keep them close to you and speak through those truths that have been brought into their lives. In your name, amen.
You have been worshiping today with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. May your heart continue to be touched by the grace of God that is yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. To help meet the obligations for increased radio station costs, Christian Crusaders has initiated the Gem Club as an invitation for listeners to make a regular monthly contribution to our ministry. This Gift Every Month Club provides a much appreciated support to help our ministry continue its work of bringing Christ Jesus' message to the world. You can even have your monthly contribution made automatically every month. Please call our office to find out more about becoming a Gem Club member. Call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Christian Crusaders' new quarterly newsletter is available now. The theme for this issue is gentleness. To join our mailing list and receive this special publication, which features an article on gentleness by Reverend Larson, Reverend Kramer, and others within our ministry, please call or email our office. To request a CD, cassette, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 73rd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.